Blog Talk Radio. The views expressed on Talk Real Solutions, hosted by Tyrone Thompson at TalkRealSolutions.com, are the views of Tyrone Thompson and do not reflect the views of TalkRealSolutions.com, YouTube, or etc. The content here belongs to Talk Real Solutions and its many contributors. Views and opinions expressed by all contributors belong to them and not TalkRealSolutions.com or Tyrone Thompson, the host, or etc. All data and information provided on the site is for informational purposes only. Talk Real Solutions makes no representation as to accuracy, completeness, correctness, suitability, or validity of any information on this site and will not be liable for any errors, omissions, or delays in this information or any losses, injuries, or damages arising from its display or use. All information is provided on an as-is basis.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. This is Talk Real Solutions, and I am your host, Tyrone Thompson. I want to thank you for tuning in. Today is September the 7th, 2016. I want to invite you to go to TalkRealSolutions.com, and on TalkRealSolutions.com, there you'll find the three-point plan to black empowerment and financial freedom. The three-point plan has 3 points. The first point is to get together with like-minded people. The second point is to stop all unnecessary spending and save your money. The third point is, as a unit, invest or save your money in a verified and trusted institution. A great goal would be for you to open a black-owned business. And right up under the three-point plan, you have a link to African-American-owned banks and African-American-owned credit unions. We could all start moving our money to these institutions to start practicing group economics today. And while you're on the website, please check out the rest of the links over there. Give me some feedback. I'm trying to build up the health and nutrition section over there by suggesting and recommending good dietary foods to eat that will keep you healthy and living long, that'll fight some of these toxins we put in our body every day. Some food, some vegetables, some nuts, some grains, some, you know, all kinds of foods over there. Stuff that I'm using now as I try to live healthier and eat healthier. So I figured if I'm doing it and it's working for me, I'll put it on the website and maybe it could help someone else. And I got a couple of videos over there talking about weight loss and dieting and stuff like that. I'm going to start doing videos again. I don't know how soon, though. But just check some of that stuff out and give me some feedback. Leave your comment. And please check out the articles over there. It's current news. It's stuff that's going on in the United States of America. That's the stuff I try to put over there. Try to keep you informed because I know you... We don't receive it except from one angle when it comes from mainstream media, and that is, of course, with bias, and it's edited, and, you know, it's kind of handed to you in a way to where it demonizes black people all the time, and it don't tell you the truth about this political climate. It don't tell you the truth about your own community. It don't tell you the truth about the police officers. It don't tell you the truth about none of these politicians. So that's why I try to put it on the website, and we can discuss it here on the show, so we can get some real opinions out here floating around instead of just conjecture and BS, you know. So that's part of the reason behind it. And donate to Talk Real Solutions. I sure do appreciate it. We got to keep the lights on over here. I think the conversation need to continue. I think we need to continue to have these conversations. But I don't think that I need to be the one on here every night running my mouth about God and the police and racism, you know, because that's, I don't know, I guess you can get overwhelmed with that stuff, but I never get tired of talking about it because I live it every day. And if you live something and you notice something every day, of course, it's a easy subject matter for you to talk about. So I know I can bore people with my subject matter, my interest. That's why you have a variety of hosts over here, from the very, very, very conservative to the other end of the spectrum. I'm not going to say liberal because I haven't really heard that mindset over here. But I've heard free thinkers. I've heard people who love themselves. And I heard people who's trying to find their way through this maze called America. So, yeah, that's what I try to do is try to have a variety of hosts so you guys can hear different opinions, so you guys can call in. You may agree with them. You may disagree with them. It's okay. That's why it's called Talk Real Solutions. We need to talk. We need to talk about these solutions in our community. We need to have the conversation. And sometimes, you know, it gets heated, but it is what it is. Now, I'm hosting tonight. Tonight is Nas night, and he said he's going to chime in a little bit later. So I'll be running my mouth until Nas gets here. I'll be running my mouth until Nas gets here, and then I'll stop what I'm doing or taking phone calls, and he'll take over the show and give you what he got to give you. Now, I named the show tonight Fascism is a Right Wing American. Wait a minute. Fascism is Right Wing American Politics. The police are the KKK, of course. And then an open conversation. Because, you know, the other night we was on the show and we was talking about some political conversation. And we were just going through the word fascism, and I read the definition of it. And obviously, Sarge got upset about the definition of fascism. It is what it is. Now, I didn't even want to do any research on this word, but I did a little bit of research on this word today. And what you see whenever you do the research is you see right-wing people trying to explain how fascism is not right-wing ideas. Now that's a dead giveaway. If you're going to try to flip and do all kind of hopscotch around the word to prove to other people what the definition of this word in the book doesn't mean what you're reading, then that's a dead freaking giveaway. It's all propaganda and BS. It's all propaganda and BS. And, you know, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. Right-wing America is not Nazi Germany, okay? I'm not saying that they're the brown coats. I mean, I'm doing an insult, but I'm not saying that they're Nazi Germany. But the ideas, the core ideas behind fascism is the core ideals behind right-wing politics in America. It's in the definition. I don't care what this man come on here and say. I don't want you guys to be misinformed when it comes to certain things. So I try to go straight down the middle. I try to give you whatever it is that I see, you know, and not try to lean one way or another. So with that in mind, you got the other side. Like I said, you got two sides of the spectrum here. You got the extreme side, and then you got the moderate side, and then you got a middle. So that's why I try to reach for the middle and not try to mislead anybody, because a lot of platforms on social media, to get numbers, to get views, to get paid off of social media, they're going to pander to these emotions. They're going to pander to ideas that is going to get people to look at them. You got the black woman haters on social media. Well, obviously, there's a market for that. There's a market for that because people actually pay to see people who talk about black women. And then you got the black community haters. There's a market for that. People will go over there and chime in and say, yeah, you're right. Them black people should get their ideas together. There's a market for black unity. That's a market. So, you know, when people have this idea of black unity, they go package it up real good, and they promote it in a certain way, and then they sell it to the public. There's a market for everything that we talk about here. So I don't want to be one of those guys that's marketing some shit. If you're going to donate to me, you need to donate to me or Talk Real Solutions, because I do strive to give you the truth. You know, I do strive to be in the middle. You know, there's a market for religious people. And we know that market, because every Sunday they got a whole organization that sits up here and promotes this stuff every Sunday. But I try to reach for the middle, and I'm not trying to pander to anybody's emotions or ideas in one extreme or another. If you say something stupid, it's just stupid to me. You know, I'm not saying I'm 100% right all the time, because I could be found out. As a matter of fact, on this show, a lot I get corrected, and I'll chuck it up and I'll say, okay, well, shit, I was wrong about that. But as long as I can read definitions, this is something that we learned to do in kindergarten and grade school, and it kind of stuck with me throughout my life. You know, I think that that's a skill or a tool that other adults is missing right now. Because as we grow older, we become very emotional and political in our ways, and some common sense shit just leaves us. It obviously do. You know, I don't know what happens, but, you know, I was always taught to go back to the basics, go back to the start, start all over again. And that's the way I look at things. If it starts to get too confusing, I go look at it. I say, well, what did this really mean? Let me go back to the basics and find out what the origins of this stuff is. Every situation, you have to analyze it like that, because if you don't, you're going to get caught up into this new transformation of this idea, and then you're just going to start there at the transformation, and then you're going to continue to push that transformation on like it's fact, and it's not rooting in anything. That's why I talk about racism a lot, because in 2016, people that is blaming black people for their own problems and all this kind of stuff, they didn't go back to the origin of this problem and see, okay, well, how did this shit begin? They starting right here by blaming single moms, by blaming these rundown communities, these low economic communities, blaming that condition on black people, and they saying, fix your shit. That ain't right. You got to go back to where it started at. You got to go back to why that community is economically deprived. You got to go back to why this community getting poor education. How do they wind up in this geographical location to begin with? You got to go back to that. Whenever it comes to black-on-black crime, okay, well, you shouldn't shoot your brother or your sister or be out there gangbanging. That's a bad idea. You shouldn't be passing drugs. But let's look at, where did these drugs come from? How did they get in our neighborhood? Where did these guns come from? Why are they so many in our neighborhood? You know, people don't ask those questions. And because they want to just, it's easy. It's political expediency to blame the freaking victims. And every time we have these conversations, that's exactly what we do for the most part. You can hear that definitely coming from people of the right-wing idea, because they don't want to look at this country and see that it's flawed in any type of way. That's why you got so many people pushing back on Colin Kaepernick for sitting down during the national anthem, that racist-ass song. And we told y'all years ago on Talk Real Solutions how racist and violent that song was. And if you've been following us, you know we touched on that national anthem, and we brought it up, that third stanza. We told y'all how racist it was. And here it is getting played out, exactly like we were saying earlier, how racist this song is. Now, that ain't the reason Kaepernick was sitting down, but it did reveal that song is racist because that's a song that he's protesting at the beginning of these games. The reason that he's sitting down on the national anthem, because of the conditions in this country where a group of people is not getting treated the same way. They're getting murdered in the street in this country. And somebody with the platform that is as prominent as his, it will make a difference. Somebody would pay him attention. You know, as soon as he started doing what he did, you know, it wasn't as soon as he did it. He'd been sitting down for games for a while before people paid attention to him. But when they did pay attention to him, they recognized that and they talked to him. And he told them exactly why he was doing it, because of the police violence in this country. And there's no falsehood there. There's nothing he's lying about. The conditions exist. But they don't want to talk about the reasons that he's sitting down. They want to talk about him sitting down. You see, they don't want to go to the origins of the problem. Why is this man sitting down? Let's talk about how he got to this mindset. People don't reach back that far. They want to go right there to the person and say, okay, fix this shit. Well, let's find out what's wrong with it. That ain't what doctors do when they perform in surgery. They find out, well, how did you get sick? What did you eat? What was you doing? What caused this condition? What lifestyle did you lead to get you here? You see what I'm saying? They got a whole questionnaire that they ask you before they start operating on you, because they want to know the origins of how you got ill before you got to their operating room. And that's just common sense shit to me. I was having a debate with ABC and Atma in the chat room, and they like using the term white science. Okay, well, why do you use that term? Where did it come from? Do you know that that's not an appropriate term when you're trying to classify a field of study? No, I mean, they don't want to. They want to talk about, okay, well, we're in 2016 and white people are acting this way, so everything is white. We give white people too much goddamn credit. We really do. We give white people too much credit. And we try to change their minds and convince them that they're doing something wrong. They're not going to never admit how racist they are. That's never going to happen. We give them too much credit. So all I'm saying is just look back at the origins of shit and see where it comes from. Now, whenever it comes to this fascist shit, all you have to do is read the damn definition of fascism, and you'll see that that is a right-wing ideology. Let me give you some of this. It says fascism is a form of radical authoritarian nationalism that came to prominence in the 20th century Europe, influenced by national syndicalism. Fascism originated in Italy during World War I and spread to other European countries. Fascism opposes libertism, Marxism, and anarchism, and is usually placed to the far right within the political spectrum. Listen to what I said. Fascism opposes liberalism, right? What does Sarge always talk about when he come in here? Liberal, liberal, liberal. Them fucking liberals. Them liberal, them liberals. That's all the fuck he say. Fascism opposes liberalism, Marxism. What the hell does Sarge always say? He's a fucking Marxist. He's a Marxist. Does he not always say that shit? It comes straight out of his damn mouth. And here's the definition telling you that people with this fascist idea opposes those same fucking ideas. Listen, you're a fucking fascist. Now, I'm not saying, whenever I call your name, I call you a fucking Nazi. But I'm not saying you're literally a fucking Adolf Hitler supporter and all this kind of shit. I'm not saying that you're literally that. But you need to know the origins of your freaking ideas. You got to. If you don't reach back to the origin of the way you're thinking, then you're doing yourself injustice. You're not even considering the whole idea. And I'm afraid this is the way that most of the people think, is they just start from now and not even care about how it got there. They don't care about the origins, you know. But look, it's in the definition of of what the hell this man say, how he conducts himself, and it is what the fuck it is. So I just wanted you guys to know that. I know he said a whole bunch of shit on here last night trying to defend this stuff, but it's bullshit. Y'all need to know that. What else we got here? I posted up a story today on the website, and I'll share the link in the chat room. It says that Darren Seals, a 29 Ferguson activist, fatally shot, left burning in a car. Now, why that story is so significant to me is because Darren Seals is an activist. He's a Black Lives Matter activist. He came up during the Ferguson time frame. And it's just strange to me that he got killed this way. He was murdered this way. The story goes on to say, St. Louis police are investigating the death of a well-known Ferguson activist, Darren Seals. The St. Louis Police Post-Dispatch report, Seals rose to prominence as a leading voice for police shootings, for the police shooting death of Michael Brown. Seals 29 was found inside a burned vehicle in Riverview, 12 minutes outside of St. Louis. Seals' body was recovered after responders extinguished the flames. It was recognized he suffered a gunshot wound to the head. The St. Louis County Police Crimes Against Persons Unit and Bomb and Arson Unit were called to assist Riverview responders, according to CBS News. A woman who lives across the street from the scene told authorities she heard a loud boom. Then the next thing she knew, it was on fire, like flaming, she said. Authorities are looking for the motive and a suspect behind the treating of the crime as a and are treating the crime as a homicide. They are asking the public, they're asking for the public help in this investigation. Seals describes himself as a businessman, a revolutionary, activist, unapologetically Black, and African in America. Spelled with the three K's, like you see me spell it here on the show several times. Fighter, a leader, on his Twitter page. He also organized with the advocacy group Hands Up United, as well as the campaign called Polls Over Police, which sought to use this year's election to challenge police policies, the New York Times report. And if you look on the website, it's got a link to some Twitter pages that are having memorials for him and all this kind of stuff. Now, I usually get on Black people opposing Black Lives Matter, but this time I went and I read the comments up under the news story on the New York site. I think that was the New York Times. And the comments that I've seen kind of touched me in a way. Because the comments that I've seen was saying that this guy was anti-gay. He didn't support gay people. He called gay people names and all this kind of stuff. So basically, there was gay people in the comment section commenting after this man was murdered about whether he supported gay people or not. Now you see, if I can get on the Black community about not supporting Black Lives Matter, I can get on gay people for being stupid as fuck and trying to push a political agenda when the issues of this country outweigh your sexual preferences, outweigh anything that you prefer to do in your bedroom, or anything that you want society to accept about you because you prefer the same sex. See, this is inappropriate for gay people to be pointing out that this man didn't like gay people. It is wrong, and because these gay people, now I ain't saying all gay people, now I got to go ahead and put that little caveat in there, because that it is wrong, because if this man didn't support your lifestyle, that's his right to do so. This is America, after all. And in America, you got a right to not just accept these ideas. That's why I have the debates with ABC and OPMA, because they got every right in this world to think the way they want to think, and there's nothing that I can say to change their mind. It's fun going back and forth, you know, tossing the ideas around and stuff like that, but anybody can think the way they want to think in this country. And because people don't support gay people, that don't mean that when a man get killed fighting for the rights of black people, that is not the time for you to actually get up there and tout your gayness. It really ain't. And this gay thing, I know y'all say, Tyrone, you support the gays. Well, it ain't that I support the gays. I just don't want to pile on top of people trying to talk shit about a group of people, because that's the way black people have been subjugated in this country for a long time. But this gives me an opportunity to actually let you hear my opinion on this gay stuff. Now, this Black Lives Matter, yeah, it was started by gay people and all that kind of stuff. And during the existence of Black Lives Matter, if you go look at their website now, it will tell you, because they did have that stuff on there that ABC said in their about section. But if you go look on there now, you can see that they changed it and said it's headed up by black men. They've changed the wording to show that, you know, black people are supporting this thing and leading this thing up. And so that meant that you had an agenda, or you had some type of motivation initially to try to put the gay stuff out front. And when it comes to black people dying in this country, when it comes to police brutality, when it comes to the murderous, racist ways that we have been treated in this country, there's no time to put your religion up front. It ain't time to put your RBG up front. It ain't time to put your ancient Kemet up front. It ain't time to put none of that bullshit up front. And it definitely ain't time to put your sexual preferences up front. Because it's not about an individual or a smaller group. It's about the unit as a whole, as black Americans getting oppressed in this country. That's what it's about. So if you putting your ideas above that, then I have to push you to the side. Because you're not really there, and you don't really care about the overall picture of what's going on in this country. Because black people are dying, whether you gay, straight, whether you light skin or dark skin, whether you rich or poor. It doesn't matter what walk of life you come from in the community, young or old. These people are killing black people in a genocidal manner every day in this country. Almost every day in this country, you're going to hear about a black death, or somebody got oppressed by the police, somebody got brutalized by the police, somebody got some kind of condition every day. So that ain't got shit to do with any of your little groups. It really don't. And I know people say that we're not a monolith in this country, but I think that's just you used it at the wrong time. Because if you just look at the way you get treated in this country, you get characterized as one fucking group. You get oppressed as one group. You get systematically disenfranchised as one fucking group. As one group, politics don't give a fuck about you. I put up an article today to where, you know, we was hammering on the Republicans. But Nancy Pelosi on her email was talking shit about black people in this group, in this country. So, like I said before, neither political side give a shit about your black ass. That's why I say that we do need our own political party. Black people in America, slave descendants, the people with the bloodline of our ancestors that worked and built this damn country, we need to have our own political voice in this country. There's no other way around that. You're not going to be a Democrat and go fucking work at the polls and blah, 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 do all that work that black people do, get in your damn churches, solicit votes, and all this kind of stuff. We're not going to do all that and reap the benefits of these politics in this country. It has not ever happened, and it's not going to happen no day soon. And that, we need to understand that clearly. So unless we got somebody with the financial backing, unless we got somebody with the political power, the political will to speak to the voices and the needs of black people in politics, we're not going to ever see a change in that area. It just isn't going to happen. Yet you got some people that come up big with the rappers and the celebrities and whatever the case, but they don't have any influence politically. This is why police can target our communities continuously, even after the expose in Baltimore. This is why they can still beat us over the head with nightsticks and not get held accountable. This is why white America is able to fund them through their fucking GoFundMes after they murder a black body in this country. Because we don't have any political interest. We can't hurt them financially. And that's another area that black people really need to consider tightening up on whenever it comes to this country. Our dollar is important. Where we spend our money is important. And whenever we think about that, that's power. That is so much power, we don't even recognize it amongst ourselves. But it's a shame because we don't know how to grab that power and do anything with it. Yeah, you got the brothers and sisters on the Facebook selling the RBG, red, black, and green stuff. You got the sisters and brothers out there that's working in the salons and doing that type of stuff. And you got some that's real estate people, and you got some but we don't know how to bring all that together and actually make it circulate through black hands only. Because that is so hard to do. That is so difficult to do in an integrated society. We're integrated because we're going to, if you have to run out to the store tonight, there's no black gas stations or there's no black Walmarts that you can go to in your neighborhood. There's no black merchants that you can go buy your items that you need from. It just don't exist. And if it exists, it's few and far between. And that's what I mean by we're so integrated in this society. The kind of society that I'm talking about, this kind of black society that I'm talking about, has yet to be built. But it is within our reach. We're planning, with technology, and somehow or another building our own community up and reinforcing our own community. We can do it, but I don't think the mindset is there for this stuff to happen. So, like I said, the economics is a big piece that we don't have a grip on. The politics is definitely a big piece that we don't have a grip on, that we need to get a grip on. Because this system that exists now, the reason that I say the Constitution need to be ripped up, and it is because of shit like this right here. This man was a Black Lives Matter advocate. He was an activist. He had a voice. He was making a difference. He was out there doing the shit that we talk about every damn night. 29 years old. He haven't lived his life yet. So how does a 29-year-old black activist wind up with a bullet to the damn skull and burn up in a car? You see, and I want y'all to tie this burning to something that's happening recent. When people started opposing Colin Kaepernick, what is the first thing that they did? They got on social media and burned his jersey. Now, I know y'all saying, Tyron, you sweating off to the conspiracy now, but think about that shit. These people like burning shit. They burned the fucking crosses. They burned our black bodies in the 1800s. And here it is with a young man, 29 years old and 20, burned up in his damn car. It wasn't good enough to put a bullet through his head. Setting fire to shit is something that I think is inherently connected to these pieces of shit. The police force in this damn country is the KKK. We need to understand that. Now, I know that we got some black people on the police force, and I know we got some police officers out there that ain't about that, that is not racist, or whatever the case may be, but we got far too goddamn many on the police force that sympathizes with this fucking radical racist idea against black people. And those are the ones that I'm talking about. Because those are the ones that are shooting people with their fucking handcuffs on, beating them with billy clubs, abusing teenage girls and little boys. Those are the ones that is shooting people in the fucking back. And we've shown you on this show over and over again where they've been exposed through audio, through text messages on Twitter, through whatever means we can, that, hey, this police officer that is on duty, that is performing his duty, is a fucking racist. We showed you that one of the people that got killed in Dallas was a fucking racist. We proved this to you time and time again. But for some reason, the rest of America is turning their eyes to this shit. Now, once again, we need to go back to the origin, right? Why are they on the police force, and why do they choose that profession to attack black people? Go back to the origin. That's where the fuck it started. Slave patrol. All right. I ran across a Facebook post today, and this goes to what I'm saying here. About and it came out of March 2015 from the Gawker. It says the horrible bigoted text traded amongst San Francisco police officers. And I go through some of these texts to show you exactly what I'm talking about here. Okay, it said a Pascal racist, homophobic text message sent between at least five San Francisco police officers were released Friday as part of a motion by the U.S. Attorney's Office to deny bail for Ian Fulminger, a former San Francisco Police Department sergeant recently convicted on federal corruption charges and a primary actor in a series of bigoted text messages. The texts from 2011 to 2012 initially implicated four current officers and Fulminger, but by Monday, 10 more cops were placed up under review by the San Francisco Police Department internal investigations for their alleged involvement. On Tuesday, San Francisco District Attorney George Gasson announced a review of approximately 100,000 convictions for potential bias. 100,000 convictions for potential bias. The following is a sampling of the text sent and received between five officers as compiled in the government's motion against Fulminger. You can read the text in the full document here. Now listen. We can say what the hell we want to, and we can try to be pro-police. We can try to say everybody need to come up under one umbrella and sing Kumbaya. We can try to say that we need to go put it in the hands of the Lord. We can try to say whatever we want to try to look the other way when it comes to this racist-ass society. But that ain't what I'm here for. I'm here to point this shit out, and I'm here to tell you what the fuck it is. Pardon my language. I know a lot of people don't like me cussing, but I'm here to tell you what it is that's got me so riled up about living in this dang gone country in 2016. And what it is that as Americans, especially as African Americans, we have been duped, we have been lied to, we have been bamboozled, we have been tricked into thinking that we live in a society that is fair to everyone. You need to know that that's a lie. You need to know it's a lie so you can protect yourself and protect your family. Now, once again, I have to say I'm not saying all white people are racist, and I'm not saying all police officers are racist. But the one that make national news like these pieces of shit are racist. And they're on those police forces, and they've been there for years co-mingling with other so-called, quote-unquote, unracist people, police officers that treat you fairly. They've been on the force co-mingling with these so-called good police officers. And they was able to exist within that environment until getting caught doing something stupid. Now, here's some of these text messages. We got two black boys, blank school, and they are brother and sister. They're text messages, so this language is a little messed up, so y'all have to excuse me. We got two black boys. We got two blacks at my boy's school, and they are brother and sisters. They're cause dad works for the school district, and I'm watching them like a hawk. That's one text message telling somebody that, you know, they got two black brothers and sisters at a school, and this police officer is watching them like a hawk. And then it says, in a response to a text, do you celebrate Kwanzaa at your school? Forminger wrote, yeah, we burn the cross on the field. We celebrate whiteness. Another text message said, it's worth every penny to live here in Walnut Creek away from the savages. Another one says, those guys are pretty stupid. Ask some dumb question you would expect from a black rookie. Sorry if he's your buddy. Another text message, the Buffalo Soldier was why the Indians wouldn't shoot the niggers that found for the Confederate. They thought they were a sacrifice, buffalo, not human. Gunther Funimer was a famous slave auctioneer. I guess he's bragging on his name about his family being selling slaves. My wife had two friends over that don't know each other. The cool one says to me, get me a drink, nigga, not knowing the other one is married to one. Just happened right now, laughing my ass off. And then he texts white power in response to a text saying, niggas should be sprayed. Fulmer wrote, I just saw one an hour ago with four kids. Another text message, I'm leaving it like it is, painting KKK on the sides, calling it a day. Another text message, cross burning lowers blood pressure. I did this test myself, saying that he burns crosses. This is a police officer, and they're talking to other police officers. Okay, here's the text message in response to a text saying, all niggas must fucking hang. Four member wrote, ask my six-year-old what he thinks about Obama. In a response to a text message saying, just boarded the train at Mission 16th, Fulmer wrote, okay, just watch out for the black males. Two more here. I hate to tell you this, but my wife's friends is over with their kids, and her husband is black. If blank is an attorney, but should I be worried? Former of a friend, as San Francisco police officer, responded, get your pocket gun, keep it available in case the monkeys return to their roots. It's not against the law to put an animal down, Fulmer responded. Well said. And this is the last one. In a response to a text message from another police officer regarding the promotion of a black officer to sergeant, Fulmer wrote, fucking nigger. Now, the four officers identified as Michael Robinson, 46, Noel Swab, 49, Rain Daugherty, 40, and Michael Sealis is 47. This is what I'm saying. If you got a racist in your organization, and I'm not saying they can't slip through the damn cracks, because they can. But when you have this type of blatant racism that is complacent in the work environment, that is there every day, they're so comfortable with each other being this fucking racist, then you know that organization is corrupt with racists. You know that. And then when you have an organization like Fox News that has the ear of white America, and they don't address these racist pieces of shit that is in the police officers, the only thing that Fox News is what they're guilty of, what I was saying earlier about not looking at the origin of the situation. They stop right there at the situation and they don't even look at what the hell caused the situation. But whenever you got an organization that is riddled with racists like this right here, we got a bigger problem than we can handle on social media. We got a bigger problem that can be handled by Colin Kaepernick sitting down. We got a bigger problem. I mean, this problem that has existed for centuries, hundreds of years. Hundreds of years, this problem has existed. Perhaps thousands. I don't know. I'm pretty sure it did exist for thousands of years. But here recently, we got a problem that's existed in this country for hundreds of years, and it was founded this way. And black people have been duped into thinking that, you know, somehow or another this country has gotten past this. And I'm going to prove it to you with something else that was put out this week. And I don't know if you guys know it, but Donald Trump went to a black church. And let me see if I can find it. But Donald Trump went to a black church, and he did the Hillary Clinton thing, to where he was pandering to black people and singing gospel songs, dancing in the damn church, just all kinds of crazy shit to appease the black people. And the reason that I'm saying that, I hope I can find this fucking tweet, is whenever he got ready to speak, I think the because it's so telling what he said when he got ready to speak. Basically, he said about their religion, then you guys, I know you guys know God. And that's the reason that he was pandering to him. And basically, unless you accepted God, you won't going to be on Donald Trump's good side. And the churches went crazy. They started yelling and screaming because they was happy that he acknowledged God or read a scripture. This is the mindset of black people. Well, at least the ones that was in that damn church, because they said the church was kind of empty. So that's a good thing. But the ones that was there, you can see that they have this same brainwashed mindset that I'm talking about. If you yell the name Jesus, if you yell the name God around black people, they're going to lose their freaking mind, and you're going to be awesome for the rest of their fucking day. You're going to be the man because you just said the word God or Jesus. In other words, if you talk about Twinkle Bell and some fairies or some fake made-up shit around black people, they will love you for that. That's a mental problem. And we shouldn't be in a condition in this country to where all they have to do is walk around us and talk about some shit that ain't never happened, that ain't never going to fucking save your ass, and then get our support. That's an issue. When Donald Trump went to that church, he didn't want to talk about the police violence in our community. He didn't want to talk about the economic state of the black community. He didn't want to talk about any political issues that plague the black community. He didn't want to talk about disease. He didn't want to talk about the unemployment rate. He went there to talk about fucking God. And it worked. Which is a damn shame, because you got a presidential candidate in your area, and the only thing that you can do is throw your fucking hands in the air and praise this fake-ass Jesus. That's what pisses me off about this religious shit. Because we get blinded when it comes to this shit. We forget who we are. Oh, he said Jesus. We good to go now. Shit, he on my side. He said Jesus. He said God. Get the fuck out of here with that shit. What about these people dying in the street? Where's Jesus when they're getting murdered? Where's Jesus when these racist-ass police officers is sitting in their fucking house or on the job or in a car or with a gun sending these racist-ass text messages about your black ass? Where's Jesus then? See, that's why I can't, I don't do this religious stuff because it don't make no sense to me at all anymore. At all. And the funny thing is for the past couple of days, there's been this Jehovah's Witness coming to my house. She's a nice lady, black lady. The first day she came by, she brought her daughter. And I told her, you know, I don't believe, but they insisted on talking, so I talked, and I told them why I don't believe. And then the next thing you know, she come back a couple of days later with a white man. I'm saying, okay, I told you and your daughter that I don't believe in this stuff, so why are you back at my house? So I talked to them, blah, blah, blah. I said, look, I don't believe, so they ain't used to you guys coming back, but I'm pretty sure they're going to come back to my house, and I'm just going to have to keep telling them I don't subscribe to this shit. But the thing is, that is how brainwashed we are with this BS. I could stand right up here and tell you, to your face, I don't subscribe to the idea that you subscribe to. I don't believe that stuff. But something in your brain is going to tell you, he's got to believe, and I got to save him. I got to bring him to salvation. No, I'm my own individual. Do not force your ideas on me. And we shouldn't be forcing these freaking fake ideas on children. That is mental abuse for you to sit up here and lie to kids like that every freaking day. You're torturing kids. You're causing them to be mentally ill whenever you're telling them these fake-ass stories. All right, I need to check the switchboard because I don't know if Nas is here or not. And if he is, I'm pretty sure he want me to shut the hell up. No, he ain't here. All right, but look, if you guys want to call in and talk about anything I can, I'll shut up and I'll let you talk. Just press 1 and you can get on the line and you can have the conversation about whatever you want to. Otherwise, I'll keep running my damn mouth. Let me see who this is. 202, who's on the line?
It's me, man. How you doing?
Hey, what's going on, Greg? What you got, brother?
Yeah, I was going to say this, man. Black Lives Matter. Now, me being a black man, even though I don't support Black Lives Matter, I'm not against it. I'm kind of neutral. And I take offense sometimes when you say that the brothers that don't support it or we don't see the value in it, you kind of think we're stupid. I kind of take a little issue with that. We're not stupid. We just think a little bit differently than you. And I think also, Tyrone, that we always talk about diversity, but we need to start respecting diversity within the black race. Some brothers do have different opinions about things, and we need to start respecting black men and women that think a little bit different than you. That's all I want, is a little bit of respect. Just because I think differently.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
Do you think that you're susceptible to the same police brutality as everybody else in this country?
Yeah, I've been hit in the head with a flashlight before from a cop when I was 16. Because I was moving too fast.
No, actually, today, in 2016, I'm sorry to hear about that happened to you, 16. That's probably what's wrong with you. They probably knocked some damn common sense out of you. But look, in 2016, do you think that you are susceptible to the same type of police brutality that any other black person in America is?
Tyrone, I'm 51. I live in a nice neighborhood. I make good money, but I know for a fact a lot of white people just look at me like a nigga. I'm well aware of that, man.
Asking you a question, though, but you don't want to answer.
Yeah, it does. Look, it doesn't matter. I have nice clothes. I'm wearing a nice pair of shoes.
I'll be out at a nice restaurant.
Look, I'm looked at in a lot of ways, just like the way they look at 50 Cent. or fucking Lil Wayne. Not all.
Okay, listen,
but,
listen. I'm glad that you're accomplished and you achieved what you achieved, but I'm asking you a pointed question. I'm asking you, Greg, do you think in 2016 that you are susceptible to this police brutality and possibly getting murdered the same way that you've seen everybody else getting murdered on the social media and in the news?
No, I actually don't.
You don't?
And I'll actually tell you why. Because
okay.
Because I'm not susceptible to police brutality and getting shot the same way a 25 or a 20-year-old black man would be because, for one thing, I'm a bit older, and I talk to cops a bit differently than a lot of young brothers talk to cops. I'm sorry. I think communication matters and how you talk to police and how you talk to anybody, even the girl at the.
Okay, so you're under the impression that if you run into one of these racist guys. That if you speak to them properly and say the right things, that they won't continue to abuse you or assault you or nothing like that.
No, and I'll tell you why, man. Look, America is a very racist society. My mailman could be racist. Cops are racist. We live in a racist society. So it's normal that people in American society are racist because this is a racist country. It's just it's common knowledge, man. There are racist cops. There are cops that aren't racist. There's cops that are professional. You know, I've been helped out by cops before when I was a young man. I mean, so, you know, getting me out of shit that I did. I'm just saying that it's a racist society that we live in as a black man. I know that. I'm aware of that, which means that I got to be a little bit different how I interact with law enforcement just because I know a lot of cops may see me in a different way than how I am. It's just something you wisdom as you grow older you have to deal with cops in a different way. I talk to my son. I have a 22-year-old son. I talk to him all the time on how to interact with cops, how to deal with them. A long discussion on how to talk to him, how to deal with them. I don't want my son getting shot out here behind some bullshit. So I just
okay.
Think
Wait.
Yeah.
So you don't think that you're susceptible to this police violence? But you think your son is?
Yeah, maybe a bit more because he's younger. He's 22, and the clothes he wears baggy clothes and shit like that. And you know, he's not a hoodlum, but he kind of dresses, you know, a little bit, kind of like you know how they dress now, kids dress. He kind of dresses a little bit like that. He wears hoodies and shit. They don't know he's a respectable young man. They probably just see him just another nigga out here. They probably
right.
You know,
with them just looking at him as just another nigga, it's possible that might kill him when they run into him, right?
It's possible, but I gave him a lot of knowledge on how to talk to cops and how to deal with situations. So he has shit that I put in his brain. Hopefully, he'll use it.
Well, I got you. But this is what I'm trying to get to. Yeah. We're talking about Black Lives Matter here. Listen.
Yeah.
So you're saying you would rather that no organization exists that would protect your son or curtail your son from being murdered by the police. You're saying that you think that organization, you don't want to support an organization like Black Lives Matter because that's their mission. You'd rather for this country not to have that organization?
Well, okay, I got a question for you. What is the goal of Black Lives Matter? What is your goal? I'm curious, man. Well, what's your goal?
To end broken policing. I go over this on the damn show all the time. Why don't you just go to their website, man? They got a very nice website, and it explains everything that they are about. It really do. But basically, it's to end broken policing. It's to make sure that this country is equipped with body cams so we can have a fair assessment of the situation. As a matter of fact, here I am. I'm on the thing. It says Black Lives Matter is a unique contribution beyond the extrajudicial killing of black people in this country and build identity. It also goes beyond nationalism and can black lives communities. Where is it at? This ain't it. Hold on. Let me give you the principles. I click on that. Hold on, I can't find it. Where you at? Yeah, I usually was damn answering this shit left and right. I can't find it. But it basically, they're there to end broken policing and actually address some of these injustice treatment that have been going on in the courtrooms and just address these damn problems. Okay, here we go. It's to end profit for policing, to limit the use of force, to demilitarize the police force, to make sure that the body cams are on all police officers. They want to instill community oversight. They want police to be trained with new and updated training, community representation. They want fair police contracts, independent investigations and prosecutions. They want a whole, but the list goes on and on and on, but it's addressing the police violence in this country.
Yeah. It's not lofty goals, man, but Tyrone, what's the other side of this problem with the cops? I mean, there's a lot of police brutality. I get that. Brothers getting shot, getting beat up. But shouldn't we be addressing the other side of the equation also at the same time? Can we do two things at once?
Shouldn't we do what to the other side of the equation?
Well, there's two sides of the problem, man. You got police brutality. I get that. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Brothers getting beat up, brothers getting shot. I understand all that, man. Trust me, I do. I'm 51. And I've had problems with police. I've been profiled. I've been walked around stores.
Okay, but you said something about the other.
Yeah.
What are you?
The other side of this problem that we have to address as black men is that the high rates of.
Okay. Well, here's the deal right here, Greg. Here's why it don't make no sense. It's illogical.
Hold on, brother.
Let me show you.
Yeah.
It's illogical to be talking about this other side of the equation, and let me tell you why. Because as a black man, don't control what the next black man do, because the next black man in this country is a free American citizen, and they can do whatever the fuck they want to do. But I, as a black man, do pay taxes, and I do expect a certain thing from the police force when it comes to them living up to their duty to protect and serve. The police officers get paid to go to an 8-hour job, and we pay their paychecks. I don't play that black criminal to go out there and break laws. If he go out there and break laws, he should be locked up and punished through the system. So addressing these criminals is like going back through history and trying to address every goddamn criminal throughout history. That's why it's a dumbass conversation when people ask, why are you talking about the police and not talking about this community? Because we have a responsibility as taxpayer to hold these people accountable for what the fuck they do in our community. Don't you think so?
Right. I do. Let me answer that, man. It's a serious question, okay? It's a serious question. I'll answer it. I think we should address police brutality out here, police biasing. We should address biasing in the criminal justice system. Black men are getting longer sentences for the same crimes, same everything. Even in schools, we're getting suspended at higher rates. They didn't know white kids for the same offense. We should address all that shit. What I'm trying to say is that we have to address the other side of the problem, which is a lot of young black men are getting caught up in the criminal justice system. We have to address black crime. I'm sorry, Tyrone. Don't get weak on me. But we have to address. We have too many incidents of young black men with law enforcement. We have to bring that level down. There's too many.
Go ahead and talk, man. I think that he's trying to do a short 10, so I might have to end this one. Go ahead.
I'm just trying to say, man, we have to address. There's too many brothers out here that are getting caught up in probation, parole, going to jail, violating. Man, there's too many brothers that are doing bullshit, crimes, petty crimes, selling dope, hanging out, loitering, public nuisances and shit. We got to deal with that shit too, man. We got to deal with both sides of the problem, Tyrone. We can't just talk about the cops, and not deal with these niggas out here committing fucking crimes. We got to deal with both sides of it. All right, that's the part you don't seem to get through your fucking brain. You only want to talk about the cops, police brutality, but we got to deal with these niggas out here committing crime. You understand me, Tyrone Thompson? Do you get it? Huh? Just sink through your fucking brain for once. We got to deal with these niggas out here that are shooting, killing, selling dope. We got to deal with their asses too. Because I tell you what, as a black man, these brothers out here are putting heat on my ass, even though I'm a law-abiding citizen. I live right outside of Baltimore, and these niggas doing so much dirt here that it's fucking up for brothers like me out here. Good brothers that are working every day, going to work, trying to pay our taxes, trying to live. All these brothers doing all this shit, it's just making us all look bad. It's just putting heat on my ass. It's putting heat on my 22-year-old son that's never been in trouble. These brothers are putting heat on his ass because it's causing so much. These cops are still fucking paranoid out here. They're still trigger happy because these niggas on all this crime, it's having a blowback effect on all of us, man. You know, so if we can get the level of incursions with these young brothers, with the cops, and females. Because I live in Baltimore. I live outside of Baltimore. I see these brothers where they're talking.
All right, listen, you're rambling now. Listen,
crazy.
I wanted you to get to a point where you would take a break. Listen.
Yes,
listen,
sir.
Hush. Listen. You're saying we have to deal with the black crime, you know. Listen, why do you think black people commit crimes? What's the major reason?
Economics. A lot
okay,
of
right there. Ho.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this right here. Is there any way that these black people that you're talking about that is committing crimes caused by a condition of economics, is there any way these black people are in charge of this economics system?
Well, that's a tough question. I mean, no, we're not.
It's not tough at all.
Well, it is. It's sort of a complex question, you know.
No, it's not.
Economics.
Listen, well, let me...
Huh?
I mean, hold on. Let me give you a little something to help you answer the question a little bit more easier, because it's not a hard question. Listen, black people in their own communities do not create jobs. They do not give out jobs. They do not outsource jobs. They don't have these industries that actually pay people. Now, I'm gonna ask you again: is black people in charge of the economics?
Oh, that's it, man. There is economics in the black community. These brothers are engaged in. I know you don't want to think about this, but
you're deflecting.
Hold on, I'll answer the question, man. The brother selling drugs is he's actually, it's a free enterprise system. He's buying drugs at a low price. He's selling
okay, now, now you're full of shit because you're complaining about the goddamn drug dealer, and now you're telling me the drug dealer is a fucking employer. Come on, man. Either you're on one side of this damn thing or you ain't.
Tom, if you give me 30 seconds to answer a question about cutting me off, I could answer it. Drug dealing is a form of economics. It really is. If you think about it, it's the truest form of economics. A drug dealer is providing a service, a need for a customer. That's what he's doing, providing service. He's selling drugs somebody wants it.
You're telling me the black community's economics is drug dealing.
Yeah, well, nail shops, chicken joints. But drug dealing is primarily, I wouldn't say number one, but it's pretty high.
You're a fucking moron, man. You're bottom line. You're a fucking idiot.
Drug dealing is,
you're a fucking idiot.
Listen.
Do you go fucking clock in to a goddamn drug dealer every day? No, you have to go fucking buy supplies from a warehouse that distribute parts and equipment and all this kind of shit. There's a system there. There's an economic system that calls you to get your fucking money, you fucking moron. You don't get it from the fucking coke dealer.
Tell him.
Listen. The black community is not on the same competitive level as
the
economics. Hold on, brother. Hold on.
The
black community is not on the economic level as the fucking job that you go to work to every goddamn day is in. There's just no equivalency there, Greg. What the fuck is you talking about?
I'll explain it to you, man. I know. I'm in business. All right. I understand business. Drug dealing, even though it's illegal, it actually is a business. It's free enterprise system. If you think about
okay, well, listen, I don't want to talk about drug dealing. You done went off
fucking
rails with my damn question by deflecting. Do black people own the fucking economic system or not? Are they in a position to where they can give out the same type of jobs that you work?
Not on the same level as society.
So the answer is no. Now, we're moving on to the next question. Being that black people are not in charge of their fucking economics, who the fuck is in charge of the economics, Greg?
You know who's in charge. I mean, these white boys in charge. But
of course I know who's in charge, but it's killing your ass to say fucking white America. And the reason that white America, and because white America is in charge of this economic system, they cause this fucking condition called redlining and putting us in these fucking ghettos and grouping us in all and consolidating us in these fucking areas and all this kind of bullshit. Greg, they don't fucking hire us. We did story after story how they don't give loans to us at a fair and equal rate to everybody else. I mean, Greg, this is stupid to be having this goddamn conversation acting like somehow or another it's all you can point the only at the black community. You're crazy.
Tyrone, Tyrone, let me ask you the question, man. Look, you're kind of – look, here's where I'm at. Here's what I mean, you always have these problems. We were thrown to a ditch in 1600s, 1700s, the Black Risk. We were thrown to a fucking ditch, right? I am at the point of, where's the ditch? We need to get out the fucking ditch first.
Oh, there's Nas right there, man. I'm going to let you answer. I'm going to get Nas land over.
Yeah, let me answer. We got thrown to a ditch 300-400 years ago. We got to get out the ditch first, and then we can start talking about who put us in the ditch. The problem that you have is that you want to complain about the problems. I want to solve the problem in the Black community, right? What we need to do is start having manufacturing that provides jobs to our young Black men and women. We need to have a credit union bank system. Start buying from your own people without buying houses. I need a Black realtor. You know, we got to start spend our money with our own people. We got to quit giving our money to white folks. You know, that's the thing.
Okay. Use your analogy of being in a ditch, right? You said we're in a ditch. We got thrown in a ditch, and we need to get out of the ditch.
Yeah.
Ain't that what you said? That's your analogy, right?
Yeah.
All right, so we were thrown in a ditch when we came here as slaves. When the emancipation happened, that'll be your quote-unquote way of coming out of the ditch somewhat. And when we were coming out of the ditch, we did build economic strong communities like Black Wall Street and Rosewood. We did have our own bus companies and cab companies. We did have our own stores. But you know what happened to those fucking stores, Greg? They got burnt the fuck down. Wait a minute. Hold on, brother. They got bought out because of the money.
Yeah.
They didn't want Black people to own those companies. And then you know what happened? This ditch that you're talking about that you thought that we was out of, that Black Wall Street thought that we was out of, you know what happened?
Yeah.
A thing called Jim Crow, Greg. And then you know what happened, Greg? The drug war, Greg. Then you know what happened? The prison industrial complex, Greg. So you're living in a delusional fucking world, man.
That's not true. Let me respond to that. Yeah, serious question. Let me respond. 30 seconds with no interruption. You promise me that? What happened was, man, we had our Black businesses, we had our Black nail shops, we had our Black banking informal lending. We had our own lottery. We run lotteries. So we had all that shit. But what happened was we integrated the whites in the '60s. That's why what happened is the Blacks, we couldn't make it, moved out with the whites. Suburbs, most left the Black in the city. Integration is what destroyed us, man. We should have never integrated with the white man. We should have just got him off our neck.
Well, your audio is coming in distorted now.
What we did, man, is that we integrated. That's what destroyed us. Integration. That's what fucked us up.
Okay, well, let's talk about that then, Greg.
Yeah.
Let's talk about us integrating
because
Black people integrated. That's what you're saying, right? Was it black people sitting up there passing these integration laws? Was it Black people actually the head of this thing and actually writing the fucking laws? No, Greg, that's bullshit, man. You need to realize what position in society we actually are. You know, we participated, and we had a great man leading it up, and Martin Luther King and those civil rights leaders, all those people was great. But when it was all said and done, won't shit getting passed unless it was signed by a white motherfucking person? And that's the damn truth. Is it not?
You're wrong. But you were talking about what fucked us up with Jim Crow. We had Black businesses in the 40s, well after Jim Crow in the 30s. You know, we had a lot of shit going on in the Black community in the 30s, 40s, 50s. So you're wrong. We were intact. We had vibrant Black communities. St. Louis.
I got you. Everybody in the Black community just fucked up. Everybody in the Black community fucked up, bring 40s, and don't want to do shit.
Man.
I got you.
Well, why do you do that? I'm trying to say this, man.
This is my fucking show, and I can do whatever the hell I want to.
Well, I think it's a bit rude, man. You ask me a question, and then you interrupt me 10 seconds later. What I'm trying to say is this, man.
You've been talking about. Let me see if Nas is here. Nas, you here?
What?
Yeah, I'm here, man. I was just I'm here.
Okay, well, go ahead, Greg. I'm gonna shut up after you talk. Go ahead, and then Nas can take over.
We had all this shit in the 40s and 50s, man, and maybe in the 60s a little bit. We integrated with the white man. That's what fucked us up, man. That's it. Which we never should have integrated with that white man. We should have looked like Malcolm X said, "Do for self, had our own shit." Asians have not really integrated, man. I mean, Hispanics not integrating. We should have just got that crack off our back and stayed our own shit, man. We would have been fine. But no, we integrated, and then feminism killed us. A lot of other problems, man. Drug abuse in the 80s, all kind of shit fucked us up. But I think integration is really fucked up. Now, you can bitch and moan about these white boys all you want, Tyrone. At some point, man, niggas getting tired of motherfuckers bitching like you. I'm getting tired of hearing you bitch and moan all the time. At some point, man, we have to get it together as black men and start building up our shit, man. Quit bitching about these crackers. That white man is not that fucking formidable, man. He ain't shit. He's on his way down anyway. China's got his number. Fuck his ass. We need to work together. There's 40 million niggas in this country, 20 million black men. We need to work together and solve some of these fucking problems, all right?
Yeah. I hear you, man, but you fucking disillusional. Go ahead, Nas. Y'all, we got Mr. Nas on the line, and he going to take over from here. Nas, I see you programmed the show, man. I thought you were just going to pick it up from where I was, man. So, do you want me to hang
good,
up so
man.
You can call in the host?
No. I think, if you want Sister Nobody to do it, that's fine. I think she's the one who set it up. Because I was just waiting to get back to the house, man. Yeah, yeah. So it's all good either way, man. If you can rock it, waiting on her, it's all good. Interesting conversation. The same conversation that's been had millions of times across barbershops all over this country. The people say, what about black-on-black crime, all that stuff. I don't even want to get into the argument. I think it's wore down. Tyrone, I think your points are well-founded. I think you're making sense. I think Greg is, like you said, a little disillusioned on this. He just wants results. And, you know, I can understand the frustration from Greg as well, though. So it's an interesting thing. I'm choosing to get out of that debate from now on because it's fruitless in my mind. Because people who think that black people are the cause of their own problems, there's really no convincing them otherwise. That's the conclusion I've come to.
Well, I agree with you, brother. I agree with you. And like you said, when since nobody called in, I'll just back out the way, man. I'll just leave my phone off the hook so, you know, the show will continue.
Okay. Well, before you do that, Tyrone, tonight I want to talk about the myths of black pathology, kind of going right with what you guys were just talking about. If you could play that clip from Ta-Nehisi Coates on that, then I, you know, kind of get into the topic, really. But, yeah, that was a perfect segue.
The myth. Okay, let me see if this is it. I'm going to start playing it, and you tell me, because there are two myth things up here.
Okay.
Is it the enduring myth of black criminality?
That one
I'll play it.
I think our criminal justice system is working as intended.
That's it.
It is only broken.
That's it? Okay, I'll start it again. Okay.
I think our criminal justice system is working as intended. It is only broken to the extent that our society is broken. If your intention is to, you know, jail massive numbers of people, if you believe that prison is an effective means of dealing with the myriad social needs of the African American community, then it's pretty effective. In fact, there's a long history in this country of dealing with problems in the African American community through criminal justice system, criminalizing social problems in a way that we don't do in other communities. For instance, if you looked at the research, you would find that somewhere around 60-70% of the people in prisons and in jails are suffering some sort of mental health problem. Upwards of 50%, you know, go in there dealing with some sort of chemical dependency. Viewed from another lens, these are public health problems. One could look at, you know, the massive number of African American men who are out of work and the intersection between that and prison. Well, one could look at where prisons are located. And, you know, you would find that a lot of times prisons are located in rural regions, you know, where all other industries effectively shut down. And you might think of that as actually an employment problem and not a criminal justice problem. The enduring view of African Americans in this country is as a race of people who are prone to criminality. I mean, literally, we have the notion of black people as, you know, criminals written into our Constitution. We have a fugitive slave clause, which effectively makes all the things that are normal for any other American in that period illegal for black people. You know, to pursue your own freedom was illegal. Slavery, you know, was enforced by the criminal justice system, the slave laws. It made, you know, very, very ordinary things like learning to read effectively a criminal act. Frederick Douglass is an escaped slave. He's a criminal. You know, he's stolen his body, as he says in one of his speeches. Harriet Tubman, you know, is running a massive criminal conspiracy, stealing people. I know we all love Martin Luther King today, but in his time by, you know, the highest powers in the American justice system, Martin Luther King was viewed as a criminal, you know, by J. Edgar Hoover. Arguably, perhaps by, you know, the Kennedy administration and the Johnson administration. I say that because they signed off on the bugging you know, of his home and, you know, wherever he was. The lens of criminal justice is the way this country has traditionally regarded black people. I don't know that anything is broken at all. The deeper question is, are we okay with something on the order of 4,000 African-American males per 100,000 being in jail? Are we okay with that? Are we okay with, you know, there being a 1 in 3 chance for every, you know, African-American male born in this generation of eventually doing some sort of time in prisons and in jail? Are we all right with that? And that goes to the deeper question of, are we all right with black people in the position that they are in our society? Or do we have some sort of, you know, long-term commitment to justice?
Yeah, thanks for the... You. Let that outro music play out. But yeah, that was Ta-Nehisi Coates kind of addressing this idea that I wanted to get into tonight. Just the myths of black pathology. I think he really addressed that well. But I'll go into a few more, you know, issues within it and just kind of talk about the historiography of it. Like when you talk about black pathology, when you talk to conservatives, for the most part, they'll tell you up front, race is off the table. And they'll say you're dealing with a cultural problem. They'll say this is black culture. The culture of black people has to be fixed, has to be raised to a higher standard. If they commit themselves to more opportunities and work hard, pull themselves up by their bootstraps, all of these different metrics that we measure and look at for a country that black people suffer through will go away. Just simple work. Liberals, they argue that the group of pathologies is born out of oppression. But liberals typically, you know, they admit to white supremacist action in the past or a generation before. But liberals typically don't get around to, you know, addressing the present or what is actively going on right now. So liberals come with a so-called more humane way of looking at it in the way that they try to explain it. But they don't actually get into what they're actively doing and how that is affecting black people, because they're more interested in either making themselves feel good, making themselves, you know, guilt-free, but also, no matter what, saying at the end of the day, well, if black people would only get this certification, if they would only do this, if they would only do that. So we come to the same road, no matter what, when you're talking about conservatives and liberals. One's just a little more soft-spoken about what they think about black people. But look, man, you go through any period of American history, I mean any period you want, and what you'll find is white America preying on black people. Now, I mean, hell, slavery, that's off the table already. Then you go into Reconstruction and you see that period where you're talking about black people still no right to vote, still being actively terrorized, still missing in wages, still don't have access to wherever they want to be, and also still being excluded when it comes to corporate America. You come after Reconstruction, let's go into, you know, Roosevelt, Truman, you know, that huge era. You go into there. The New Deal excludes black people. The New Deal that everybody talks about was this great transfer of wealth for most Americans to where they were able to own a home and actually create some generational wealth. Well, the New Deal actually excluded domestics and farm workers, the two occupations that most black people were involved in. Most men worked with the land and were you know doing active labor with their hands. Most women worked as domestics, and those were excluded from the New Deal, along with the GI Bill, which didn't include all black soldiers. So they missed out on this huge influx of cash that allowed whites to move out to these newly formed suburbs. So that's the New Deal. So, you know, 40s, 50s, 60s, we could take it all the way up through there. We're still talking about the country not being democratic because a huge portion of the population could not vote. So we're talking about still black people being preyed upon by white people. Then we get up to, you know, we from the 60s, where we get the Voting Rights Bill, what, 65, that's finally the right to vote. But still within that, we had lower wages, last hired, first fired, unemployment rates similar to the Depression era of what whites went through. Then you go to the 80s and you get the prison industrial complex. A little later, you get the war on drugs. And then you start to realize that there has never been a time where black people could collectively take a breath and just go out here and fight as a normal citizen would for their own survival and for their family survival. There was always, always that extra anchor around our leg as we're trying to run this race with everybody else. So when you talk about these things and you say, well, if black people would just do this, no, no, no. The problems of black people, there's nothing wrong with black people that getting rid of white supremacy wouldn't help solve. You know what I mean? Like getting rid of those things are the more important conversations. Now, some black people will say, oh, you're crying to the white man about what he's doing. No, confrontation of somebody abusing you is healthy. Not only that, it's also the road to your own salvation. The chains that we threw off from slavery and the fights we had for the right to vote, for the right to equal access to different opportunities and everything else that we fought for is based on us being willing to do it. So I think there's a lack of backbone when people start talking about not addressing white people when you're talking about the condition of black folks. So that's one thing me and a lot of black conservatives are just going to disagree upon. Like, I fully understand that. I'm not interested in trying to change their mind. Like I said, I've come to that conclusion. That is not something that's going to be done. But when we talk about black people today and you consider, as Coach laid out, these rural areas that get these prisons, that employ those white people who lost those former production jobs and manufacturing jobs that used to be there for them. And now they're, COs and all these other different things within the prison industrial complex. You see that oppression is just transformed. Nope. Got a motorcycle going by. But, yeah, oppression is just transformed. It's not a thing of it went away. So these things are important when you start talking about black pathology, because to do it without addressing these things, you're missing the forest for the trees. You're only talking about, well, what can black people do in order to get around all of this stuff? I would say first things first, you have to address what's actually there, what you're actually fighting. Once you know what you're fighting, it gives you a better chance of beating it. We're essentially asking our children to run this one-legged race and beat everybody else and then saying what's wrong with our children is how I would best address it. Man, but yeah, and the other part of this that really, I don't know if we sleep on this aspect or what, but when you talk about what black people have been able to do with all of the things that are already listed on their back to still be able to be strong enough and genius enough to come up with different things and keep fighting in order to raise a family and feed your children and have something, just the things that black people have been able to do. It's something that should be saluted and would be saluted in any other people, but somehow these, miraculous things that we pull off every generation are kind of poo-pooed, you know what I mean? So it's a weird dynamic when you start talking about this stuff and somebody thinks black-on-black crime is the issue we should be talking about within American history. What we should be talking about is theft from body, theft from wages, theft from freedom to access anywhere you wanted to go. Freedom, and I'm talking about taxation without representation. And that goes down to the libraries you pay for, the schools you pay for, the roads that you didn't have equal access to because people wanted to restrict your movement and use the police to determine where you could be and where you could live. Like all of these different things that we get around, and somehow we still come up looking at ourselves as if we are... We haven't done some amazing things in America, man. And then we come with this cultural aspect. People keep talking about culture. Look, we've been in America longer than most of these immigrant groups who got here, in the late 1800s or the 1920s. We've been here longer than these people. Some of the American ideals that we have are just the same as most other Americans. But somehow, because we have a different way of doing it because of limitations or making lemons out of lemonade, people think we have some kind of culture that's totally, different or divorced from America. Your children's frame of reference is the same as white children's frame of reference. What do they want? Spider-Man. They want whatever shoes. They want whatever clothes. And all these other different – the music they listen to, all these other different things. Like we act like we just dropped out of the skies if we haven't been here absorbing all the American traditions and cultural norms. The ones we could actually pull off. You know what I mean? So So a black middle class family is damn near more American in practice than a white middle class American family for the most part. But if you start talking about a poor one, then they're going to do it in a different way. So a social marker for a poor person might be a pair of Jordans, while a social marker for a middle class person might be a new BMW. You know what I mean? Whatever gets them that praise and that adulation from their peer group. And this goes from children to adults. But somehow with black people, we go to, oh, the man, them poor people buying Jordans. See, that's their problem. They bought those Jordans. As if Jordans ever bankrupted someone. No, somebody wanted to do something for their child that they knew would bring a smile to their child's face. So they did whatever they had to do to pull it off to do it. The same as every other family in America that does it every Christmas. So, yeah, man, this black pathology thing, I think it's a problem because we don't address it in a smart way. I think we're looking for any excuse not to talk about the things that are really on the table. I'd recommend Herb Gutman, The Black Family in Slavery and Freedom, which is a great book, which documents black people coming out of slavery and traveling across the country to put their families back together, even if they had to buy a family member during slavery. Doing all these different things to put the family together. People tell us we don't have family. And also The Warmth of Other Suns by Isabel Wilkerson, which is about black people and, you know, the transition from the South to the North, black people running away from Southern terrorism to Northern areas for factory jobs, only to be locked in the red line areas and abused by the white Northerners, who are just as racist as their Southern counterparts, but just don't seem to get that reputation. So, yeah, black pathology, man, this is a real important issue. And I think we really missed the mark when we talk about it. Barack Obama, once when he goes into this, like you guys can look this up. But his analogy was dealing with racism is like a basketball game, to where you're the coach of one team and the refs are obviously cheating for the other team. His answer is you tell your team, don't worry about the officials, make the plays you have to make. You got to win this game. It doesn't matter what the officials are doing. If you worry about complaining about it, you're going to slow yourself down. So don't worry about it. So I understand that middle class point of view of just put your head down, figure it out, be twice as good. Now, the question becomes, let's take Barack Obama's example and turn that into a March Madness style tournament to where there's, you know, 64 games going on at the same time. And they all have that same officiating marker there to where they're cheating for one side. Now, is it smart to keep saying, well, we're just going to keep being twice as good and we'll just deal with the outcomes later? Or is it to address it and say, wait a minute, this is an unequal playing field. Things have to be changed. We will not stand for this. I think that's the more realistic and more respectable position. That's why I disagree with the liberals who come from Obama's perspective on this, who are saying all these things will work themselves out eventually, which I disagree with wholeheartedly. But yeah, man, like I said, America's relationship with blacks, us, has mostly been about theft, rewarding mediocrity, and making black people twice as good to get the same position or same wages, and acting as if we should be praising them for being so-called tolerant, which is a really interesting word when you consider race relations, that people say tolerant. By what right do you have to say whether you should tolerate somebody else, especially somebody who's been here and done way more than you have for the collective of this country? So, yeah, man, this is a real interesting topic. I want to get people's opinions on this. If we disagree, we don't have to get into a long, drawn-out fight on this. But I do want to hear what people think about this topic when it comes to black pathologies, because for some reason we've taken on the notion that black pathologies are either written into our DNA or they're written into our culture. And I think both of those answers are dead wrong, and matter of fact, dangerously wrong, because they don't lead us to getting to the actual answer and fighting where we need to fight. But, Tyrone, I don't know if you're still hanging with me, or I don't know if Sister Nobody's around. But, yeah, if anybody.
I'm here, man. What, you ain't got access to the switchboard?
Nah, I didn't log in. Somebody was
there,
so I couldn't get in.
You got three callers. No, you can still open it, though. You can still log in.
Oh, okay. Well, I do that
yeah,
in a second
people.
Then, but yeah. Yeah, go
yeah,
bring them on, man. I know that was a long-winded thing on this Black Pathology, but I think we got to get the language right on this. But yeah, go ahead and bring them in. Everybody, you know, let's get into this.
All right,
look,
we got 202.
Opinion.
I guess this is Greg. Who's 202?
I had a phone call.
Yeah, Greg, go ahead. I'm going to mute myself while you're Yeah, I'm going to mute myself while you're talking.
Hold on, let me open these other callers first. We're going to go in this order as I open you guys. We got Greg first. Who is 510?
510 is Cream Soda. What's going on?
Okay, hold on for a minute. You go out to Greg. And who is this unknown caller?
JMYC.
All right, JMYC, you'll go out to Cream Soda. All right, who's this unknown caller? Unknown caller, I got your line open. Who's there?
Yeah, this is 952 Beasley.
All right, I got you. All right, go ahead, Greg, Cream Soda, Jay, and then off it.
I want to be root beer. Never mind. Go ahead. Go ahead, Jay. I mean, go ahead.
Yeah,
Greg.
What? Okay. I was going to say, look, I don't want to come across like I'm callous that I don't know about discrimination. I probably know much more about discrimination than anyone in this room. Okay, I was born in the 60s. I've lived through it in the 70s. I was one of the first kids to be bused in the 70s. We were bused to the white schools and they were bused to the black schools. I know all about discrimination. I deal with it practically daily.
All right, somebody got some bad background noise.
I'm sorry. What I'm trying to say is this, man. As a black race, we have to do for ourselves. Okay? Sorry. We have to, there's 40 million of us here. And that's the point I'm always trying to stress to brothers on the show. Quit bitching and begging to these white boys. They don't give a fuck about your ass anymore. It's pointless. We got to do it ourselves, man. Okay?
All right,
that's
Greg.
All we have is ourselves.
Hold on, hold on.
Right.
Wait a minute. Listen, guys. I need to check and see whose background noise this is because it's really Greg talking low like he fucking Barry White and that background noise ain't fucking kicking.
It was either music. Is it music?
I love Barry White.
Well, look,
I don't know, but
because I'm not a
somebody sound like they growling, but all right.
No, I'm not growling.
I'm just trying to say this. Look, man, what's it on?
Okay, it's gone now, Jay. I guess that's your line, man.